And it's really exciting for me that this is the third time in just a few months that I get to share in my home church. And because you and I are still getting to know each other a little bit, I thought I would start with a bit of confession time. You see, I have a really competitive side to me, for those of you that don't know me. And I've been having this little competition, at least in my own mind, about sermon titles. You see, because the boys have been preaching and the one girl's been preaching, and so we've been going back and forth. And I'm not like Pastors Rob and Jamin, and I think Kim preaches a bit too, and some of the others. I don't preach that regularly. So I've been really competitive home, thinking like, I need to really nail this. And my kids have been hearing about it, and they probably now wishing they hadn't. My husband's been hearing about it. And so the day that I got the title, Don't Be Shady, my whole house heard about it. And I said to them, like, I've got it. I've got the sermon title to beat all sermon titles. And then, there's always an and then, right? And then, just when I thought I had knocked it out of the park with my creative title, I see Pastor Rob's message title for last week, which was Lazarus Gets a Raise. And I determined in my heart, it's okay if I come in second place. Now, if you missed that, you can go online and check that out, his message from last week. And I realized in this last few weeks that I probably shouldn't be so competitive, but it's good to have a little fun in the church, right? It's okay for brothers and sisters to have, you know, this little competitive edge. Anyways, I have an important message for us today, so I'm just going to transition to that now, because we've had confession time. We know each other a little better now, right? I think deep inside all of us, in every single one of us, is a desire to know that our life matters. Am I right? We want to know that our life matters, right? We want to know that we are here on earth for a purpose and we're here to make a difference. And I believe to the core of my being that every life matters and that every Christian, young or old, has an ability to shine and make a difference in this world. And because of that deep-rooted belief, now I just realized, oh, I need this. I'm still learning how to use this. Because of that, I want today's message to focus on answering these five questions. Oh, I have to turn it on. Look it. See, I still need on this. Oh, there we go. Confession time. Carmen's still learning how to use PowerPoint and remote controls. All right. We're going to work on answering these five questions. Here's the first one. Why you can't be shady. Why you need to shine. How you can grow your brightness. What are the fruits of your shine? And when do you need to start shining? And it would be my hope and prayer that by the time you leave here today, you will have heard the Spirit's voice reminding you of just how much your life and your contribution in our world matters. And to add to that, like the songs that we were singing, that he breaks every chain. Like, I think for some of us, there are some chains that just might need to fall off this morning. Amen? Now, you might wonder why this would be an important topic for me, and here's why this is a heartfelt topic for me. You see, for a lot of my life, I lived with the belief that I wasn't worth loving. For a lot of my life, I lived with the belief that I didn't have something worthwhile to contribute. My teen years were riddled with pain, poor decisions, and confusion. Confusion about who I was, why I was here. And a lot of my decisions in my teen years focused on having a good time and trying to fit in, usually with the troublemaking crowd. And I made choices that would allow me to escape the pain and the confusion in my own heart and life. You see, I didn't know then that there was a Jesus you could run to. I didn't know that there was a God that wanted to be my very best friend. I didn't know. And I didn't know that if I could invite him in, he could answer my heart's deepest longings, So I acted out, searching for that which could satisfy. And it could be rightly said that my life shone with all kinds of things and in all kinds of ways that were not becoming of a Christian. In fact, I once asked my mom to define for me some of my childhood traits, both positive and negative. And here's the top three remembered unbecoming traits. Okay, this is a vulnerable moment here. These are the top three not so great things. Okay, ready? Number one, I was selfish. Number two, I was defiant. Number three, I was strong-willed. There are a few things that haven't changed, but there is lots that has, and there were lots of positives too, which I'll share with you another time, but I don't know about you, but I don't find those top three things very flattering. And they're definitely not traits that I want shining out in my life, especially because, as I said, I really believe our lives were meant to shine for Christ. They're meant to shine in a positive way. So let's start with answering those first two questions because they really warrant a combined answer. Why you can't be shady and why do you need to shine? Here is the most fundamental reason, the reason of central importance that you can't be shady and must shine. Are you ready? Because Jesus said so. He said so. Let's read this together. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. Actually, I'll read it for you. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bed. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Did you catch that? You are the light of the world. You were meant to be lit and then not hidden under a basket. You were meant to shine and give light to everyone around you. You were meant to let your good deeds shine. Why? So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Here are some other supporting scriptures from both the Gospel of Matthew and of Luke. Mark 4, verse 21 says this, "Then Jesus asked them," and I kind of imagine it this way, if I can, you know, just take a little bit of liberty with it. I kind of just imagine Jesus going, like, seriously? Would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, under a bed? Like, seriously? Of course not. They wouldn't do that. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. Okay, maybe you wouldn't have done it like that, but that's kind of how I interpreted it in my 20th century voice. Okay, Luke 8, "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house." And Luke, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house." You know, there are different descriptors in these verses that should never, things that should never be done to light. We should never cover it. We should never hide it. Or we should never put it under something. Now, in order to grasp a deeper understanding of light and what Jesus was getting at, we actually need to travel back in time a couple thousand years. Because light, as we understand it today, was not how the audience understood it in Jesus' day. And I don't want us to miss some nuggets of understanding by not taking just a few minutes to go back and understand the early understanding of light. Here are some facts about light. In the ancient Near East, light was a common symbol for truth. The Israelites, the chosen people of God, were to be light for the Gentiles, right? You see, there was a world of people, and God chose a people and said, look, you're going to be my people, and you're going to shine brightly, and you're going to show them the way. You're going to help these people to discover who I am, because I'm going to teach you how to live in the light of my truth. A lantern was put on a stand so it was beneficial to all. You see, a light was put in a place where it would be helpful to those that were near the light. In the ancient Near East, they did not use candles, they used lanterns. And when a lantern was lit, it had a primary purpose, and that was it was meant to illumine. It meant to make seen that which could not be seen. And every lantern that was lit because it was needed for those in the vicinity. It wasn't about creating ambiance, right? Often we'll, in our culture, we'll go into a place and we have beautiful candles and it's lovely and it creates this atmosphere and that's great and we love that. But for them, it was about functionality. They needed that light. They needed that light. Light from lanterns was a normal source of light, and it was a daily necessity. When darkness fell and a single lantern was lit, it was to be visible, not invisible, right? We touched on that. We don't put it under something or cover it with something. And this is, I think, really important for us, is lanterns, for the most part, were actually very, very small. Now, there are some big lanterns in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, and in the temple. But for the most part, in the ancient Near East, a lantern could fit in the palm of your hand. There might have been some a bit bigger, but by and large, they were relatively small. And I think that's going to come in and be important for us later. And perhaps the most important point of all is this. Jesus called himself the light of the world. And he said that whoever follows him will have the light of life. I want to camp on that last point for a few minutes because I want us to be really, really crystal clear about what light we are to shine brightly through our lives. Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." And because we are God's people, men, women, young adults, children, and we're living in the light of Christ, we cannot afford to know that light, being Jesus, live in that light, which is the truth, and yet put it under a shade, thus allowing ourselves to become shady. You see, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, we are light, like the light bringing Jesus wherever we go. Christ shining in us and through us. A New Testament understanding is that Jesus was the light of the world, and it's a title he's also given to us, his disciples and followers. You see, we're called children of the light. And because of that, John R. Stott, a New Testament scholar, would say this. He says, "We're not to conceal the truth we know or the truth of what we are. We're not to pretend to be other than we are, but be willing for our Christianity to be visible to all." How do you grow your brightness? How do you grow your brightness? If Jesus is the light, then it makes sense that in order to grow our brightness, we need to get to know who Jesus is, right? And there are a variety of ways to do that, but here I think are two really significant ways that would be helpful for us. Read the Word. If Jesus is the light, we need to get to know him. We need to be men and women, young adults, children of the Word. And you know what? There is a variety of ways to do that. There are hard copy Bibles. There are scripture apps. You know, there's the daily audio Bible. There's the scripture reading app. In our country, we have more access, I think, to the Word of God than in places around the globe. Be men and women of the word. I think that's how we grow our brightness. Here's another way. Be a part of a Christian community. Be a part of the community where the people of God gather. Why? Because it says in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where there are two or three gathered as my followers, I'm there among them. You see, I think Jesus is actually here among us this morning. Because we're gathered in his name. We're not gathered around a worship team or gathered around a pastor or a speaker. We're gathered in the name of Jesus Christ. And where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. Paul also says in Hebrews, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Another way to grow your brightness, pay attention to what you allow your eyes to see. This really matters. Luke 11, verse 33 to 36 says this, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light that you think you actually have is not, or the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, your whole life, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Here's another way to grow your brightness. Allow God to search your heart. Pay attention to the motives of your heart. Ask yourself, am I focused on Christ? What message am I pointing to with the decisions I am currently making in my life? Psalm 26, verse 2 says this, put me on trial, Lord. Put me on trial and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. That's a risky prayer, but it's an important one. It's an important one. One author I read said this, God's light shines in us so that God's light can shine out of us. That should be a motive for us. We want God to shine in and out of us, and it's not for our own glory. Another author said this, light shines to see others by. Helps to see others by, not to draw attention to itself. I love that, because our light is to point to Christ. Growing your brightness. Get to know the truth that Jesus taught. Get to know it. And when you receive that truth, understand that it's meant to be shared, not hidden away. And you know what? We're works in progress. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, hey, I think I discovered this. Let me share that with you and that person or that friend or in that community. They say, oh, yeah, but I've been digging into that too. And you start to dialogue about it. And before you know it, your anchor's going deeper and deeper in the truth. And even in the context of the scripture that I started with in the very beginning about letting your light shine, in that text from Matthew, there were hundreds of people sitting on the mountainside learning from Jesus. They were being taught things like, you know what? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Be peacemakers. Be people of mercy. And in that moment, they also came to understand that their life as a follower of Christ, it wasn't going to be easy. Because you see, in order to have to show mercy, something has to happen. It wasn't going to be easy. There was going to be persecution. I just attended the Global Leadership Summit, and I heard Irwin McManus say this. He said, you know, faith doesn't make your life easier. It makes you stronger. Faith doesn't make your life easier. It makes you stronger. And last year, when I was part, I came for a little bit. I think it was Priscilla Schreier in her study. She said this. She said, you know, God is strong and he wants you strong. I think God wants us to have his strength. Another way to grow your brightness. Let Christ transform your character. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 25 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. I bet you if I asked the kids, they could probably sing me this, but I'm just going to read it for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In 2 Peter, and I didn't put this up, but in 2 Peter it says this, 2 Peter verse 1, verse 3 to 10, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for godly living. Do you hear that? He's given us everything for godly living. We have received all of that. We've received all of that by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way, they're short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Another way to grow your brightness. You need to believe Jesus at his word. You see, as humans, we tend to limit what is possible by what we believe to be true, right? You need to believe Jesus. Jesus wants you to shine. He says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they'll produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And let me remind you of something that Jesus might say to us as he did to his early disciples. Jesus spoke once more to the people and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. What are the fruits of your Jesus shine? Somehow, in some way that is mysterious to me, when each one of us does our own special work, it affects the whole body. So in ways that I may never fully understand this side of heaven, when you shine Jesus through you, when you shine your light, when you do that special work that God is calling you to do, it affects the health of the whole body of Christ. And it also causes us to grow, and it has influence on how loving we are. Let me read you this scripture. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow. You see, we're helping each other grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You are a chosen people. There was a bunch of context before this passage in 1 Peter where he was telling them what they shouldn't be like. And then he transitioned into, you're a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession, As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're a chosen person, and you're part of a chosen people. You are royal priests. In the Old Testament, priests were the primary religious leaders. They were considered the ones who could intercede on behalf of others. They acted as divine representatives of God and represented the people to God. Priests could counsel. They could give instruction, especially instruction on how to live a holy life. And many of those things are now part of our lives as children of the light. We get to teach others. We get to shine the way to God. We get to be intercessors. We did that this morning, praying for the needs of others. You get to share your unique God story, how God found you and brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that you get to tell about how you're learning now how to live in that light. You know, whatever gifts that Jesus gives you, they're meant to produce fruit. Here's some other fruit. People get to see your loving Heavenly Father through you, and the light of Christ shining through you can illumine their darkness. See, it's not our work. It's Christ's work in and through us. But through us, Christ can use that, shine through us, and illumine darkness and bring truth, helping point to a different way. You have a God-given purpose, and from a God-given purpose comes God-given fruit. When we proclaim God's word, when we proclaim the truth, the scripture tells us that it will not return to him void, but that it will accomplish everything, everything that he has purposed for it. When you are living in obedience to Christ's command, I think that's where the blessings are found. Right? Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you. Blessed are you when? Blessed are you. And you know what? I think in my own journey, and I've been sharing this with my friends lately, I have found great contentment and freedom in embracing the truth that my life is meant to shine. It's not meant to draw glory unto itself, but there are responsibilities that Christ has entrusted to me, and my responsibility is to cultivate and grow so that he can shine brightly in my life. And there's a blessing of contentment and peace in that, even in the hardest of days. Okay, where do you start? I wanna just show you, those are some lanterns. Remember I said earlier how a lantern could fit in the palm of your hand? That's a picture of some of the lanterns that have been excavated in the ancient Near East. So where do you need to start? When do you need to start? Pardon me. Oh, it's not coming up. You need to start today. Today. You are the light that is needed by everyone in the world. You need to start today. And just as that item, that lantern, was a small thing, like, just start. What's in your hand? Start shining today. Your light, Christ through you, was meant to dispel the darkness and make visible to others that which could not yet be seen by them. One day we will live in the very presence of God's light, but in the meantime, we are called to live for Christ and shine for Christ in the world. God has made us alive with Christ. This means that his life flows in us and his life flows out of us. You know, it's interesting when you read the parables of light, because they're actually often paired with you are the salt and light, right? But here's the reality. Jesus actually never called himself the salt of the earth. Jesus only ever called himself the light, because you see, salt was meant to preserve something. And we as Christians are meant to preserve the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. and to shine so that others can find their way to Jesus. So we're to be salt and light. We're preserving something. We're to let our light shine. So in a sense, Jesus has passed a torch to us. And it's in and through us that he wants to make himself known to others. And because he's passed that torch to us, we need reminding that our life matters, that Christ in us matters, that Christ shining through us matters. I want to close with a challenge, but I think my last slide, I don't know what happened to it. So I'll just turn this off. I want to leave you with a call to action. I'll just invite the worship team to come back up, but I want to leave you with a call to action, a question for you to consider. Oh, there, thank you. You're awesome. Here it is. And I would love for you to reflect on this week. Will you commit yourself to not being shady and to allowing your life to shine, however Jesus has meant for you to do that? Let me ask you that one more time. Will you commit yourself to not being shady and to allowing your life to shine, however Jesus has meant for you to do that? Because you, my West Side family, you were meant to shine. You were meant to shine. You have a song, so are you gonna?
I do.
I just feel to let you kind of lead us through that and wrap that up. Can we do that?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Let's stand.